Welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. My name's Katie Stoll. I'm so sorry. What was
it
that?
It is. No, you're excited. It's called energy, and it's high up there. High up there. It's me, Cody Johnston.
Hey, Cody. Joining us today is our friend, our former colleague, writer, comedian, Teresa Lee.
What's up? Yo. Hey. It's me. Father Long Legs.
I saw somebody tweet. What did they tweet? Something about someone must have been really horny when they named it Daddy Long Legs.
Oh.
Maybe it was Ali Siegel. I can't remember. But that's it funny. Made me laugh.
I like father because it's like I could be, you know, like a priest. But also like fatherly to me, I'm trying to take back the like or erase the binary of like mother, father, how we think of it. Mm. Like mother being nurturing, father being like absent, but it's like there's a father. It feels so like I don't know,
comforting.
Yeah, it's like I'm being enveloped by a daddy, but like not the daddy is overused already. So I'm like, I like using the word father.
Envelope me, daddy.
Yeah, envelope me. That's you guys don't do the envelope. That's what all the cool kids are out there doing. Envelope.
Real quick, before we get too far down this path, I have to stop and wish everybody a very happy National Talk in an Elevator Day. Don't do that. Don't do it. I would recommend avoiding elevators at the moment.
Right.
Unless you're
Is that a real day?
It is. Holidays are ridiculous. Yeah, we've got a few of them. We've got National Chicken Wing Day, National Chili Dog Day.
Well, those make
sense. Lasagna Day. All of them. I don't know why we would have three national food days on the same day. But we do.
The elevator thing is interesting because I lived in New York for so long and it's like almost rude to talk to a stranger in the elevator. Mm. And then here in LA, like I'm recording this in my boyfriend's building and he's like in one of those like high rises and everyone will say like, have a good day. See you. Like even if they don't have a conversation, like you're quietly in the elevator and then
it's
on the
like,
way
out. It's like, don't boss me around like that. You know, I'll have whatever I'll have a bad day.
Fuck you.
It's almost like to me, I'm like, conserve your, because talking is energy. Like, don't give me, like, conserve your energy because now I have to receive it and, it, you know, to,
yeah,
I have to
keep
open
your germs
to
yourself.
It. Yeah. I'm like, just be a normal, rude person and ignore like everyone else. Like, why?
Are we really down on like basic or, pleasantries?
Know? It's also like, look, I'm very quick to give a pleasantry, but I'm going to take this stance right now, which is you don't care what kind of day I have. You're just saying it to make yourself feel better.
I do. I want everyone to have a nice day.
I do want people to have a nice day, but I think it's like it erases the genuine moment. Like, because sometimes you do connect with someone in an elevator, and I want those to exist. But if I'm like, oh, if I don't say hello to every single person, I'm rude, then all of a sudden the people I do talk to are like, it's like, you know, when you're at a strip club connecting with a stripper, you don't know if it's real or not.
Just
and
like
that's
that.
On you. You have to, like, that's okay. It's
be more discerning. Be more discerning with your pleasantries. I get it. Yeah.
Be more discerning.
Let's reclaim this day as National Have Genuine Connections in an Elevator Day. And if not, just keep it to yourself.
Yeah. Be organic.
National Be Organic Day.
That's I'm not it. A robot. What are you talking about?
Guys, no ads today, except, wait a minute, yes, there is. Today's episode of Even More News is brought to you by our Patreon. Thank you so much to everybody that supports our shows. We really would not be here without you. It just means the world to us. I mean, I'm going on a limb here, Cody's.
No, you're right. You're correct.
But it means the world. And if you didn't know, we love you very much.
Much.
We'll be saying that again later. All right. We've gone through the top part. Teresa, this is where we check in. This is where I say, hey, man, how's it going? How have you been? What's life been like? Pandemic.
So many things that I don't even, we might have just come back around and nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. Like, I felt like we got through, but we're back in.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't seen or talked to you guys really for quite a while. We were on a Discord together. I feel like there's been moments of checking in, like as a group. There was a kind of general sentiment from former colleagues of ours of like generally checking in, but we haven't you know,
that faded fast up. After we, not fast, but just like anything, the pandemic, I look at different stages of everybody like reaching out and connecting. And then there was like, just keep your head down and get through it. Like,
Discord's hard to keep up on too.
It is. Yeah. I kind of backed off too. I'll give you the quick, like 30 second highlights reel.
Perfect.
Let's see. I released an album and I directed a short film and I got boobs. So that's
wild. Wait, where did you get the boobs?
I got them on my boobs.
Nice. So you just went ahead and put them on your boobs. That's so smart. Because sometimes people put them on like their tummies or their backs. And I'm like, why? It's just going to make the clothes fit weird.
Yeah. No. The funny version is just to say, tell people I haven't seen in a while I got boobs. It is true, but it's a lot. The long story short is I had heart surgery as a baby and I like went back and like kind of, I don't know if I cured my childhood trauma.
As a baby?
I had heart surgery as a baby. I was born with a congenital heart disease. Yeah, I haven't really like looked into it too much as an adult. It was something that I didn't open up. But during pandemic, I wasn't ashamed to just live with it for so long. But a lot of repressed memories came back. And so that sent me down like a whole thing where I did trauma therapy and I was able to tie back a lot of the like panic attacks I was having with some of the early memories from the surgery. And it sort of all ended in this accumulation of like a pretty bad time. And then finally I was like, I'm going to reward myself because I also have a scar from it and my boobs are uneven because of it. So I didn't really like care that much before to fix it. But then that plus the job and everything, I was like, I'm going to just get some tits. And then I did. So
I'm really proud of you. I love that. I love that you took it. You went on a journey. And a healing journey for yourself and confronted some stuff. And then you did something for yourself that would make you feel good and in control of your body. And I think that's really, really beautiful.
Thank you. The bank does own them still. But you can put boobs on credit card? They can't repossess my boobs. Like, what are they going to do?
They could cut them out.
Take it back, but then they all have no money and I'll have no boobs. And it's like nobody wins. So
I mean, that would just cost even more.
Yeah. Exactly.
Joke's on them, fools. Yeah, what are they going to do? They've got a whole collection box of boobs they've reclaimed. Some pervert just goes and plays with it.
Oh, God. Well, it is, like, weird. Like, I mean, I know that this... I know that we're all generally anti, like, shitty capitalism here. And so I'm just going to have to call out how shitty it is that you can't put rent on credit card. You can't really put most of the healthcare. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can put, like, little bits of healthcare. But, you know, you really can't put a lot of it on it if you don't have health insurance. But you can... You can get to
Shitty. So. Or any kind of plastic surgery. Like, you know.
It's called freedom, Teresa. It's called freedom.
It's called freedom.
And charge it. Get those dang points. Charge it.
Get the boobs and then you'll be able to.
Slowly pay it off, but you got the points.
Right.
Take a trip to not Hawaii because Hawaii is encouraging people to stop traveling there, everybody. Jonathan, should we get into some breaking news?
Let's wonk this thing up.
Wonking.
Well, we're going to get wonky because the first thing we're going to talk about is infrastructure.
Yeah.
It is infrastructure week, month,
infrastration.
Decade.
No. Infrastrating.
Infrastrating. Excellent.
Infrastructure more like in not structure.
There we go.
You guys workshop this as not I go through the story.
Out of get that out of
So the Senate voted to take up this $1 trillion bill. There was a bipartisan group that once again says that they smoothed out their disagreements. They came to an agreement, which they said they did in June, and then there were some hiccups. But they did it again, so the Senate voted to move it along. It's going to go to debate. Chuck Schumer hopes that this $1 trillion infrastructure bill will pass before the Senate goes into recess on August 9th. But, there's a big but here, Kyrsten Sinema says she's not supporting a $3.5 trillion bill, you know, which is, quote, a human infrastructure bill, which has a whole bunch of other stuff, climate change, etc., that the Democrats want to push through with budget reconciliation, which means they only need all 50 Democrats to be on board. No Republicans would be on board.
But now without her.
Well, there it's unclear.
And other people. But
there are some Democratic senators who were like, oh, this $1 trillion initial infrastructure bill was a compromise anyway. And the only reason we're going forward in that is because we think we're going to get everyone on board for this $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation bill later. And so if that's off, the whole thing might be off. But, you know, it's really in the rumbles right now.
It feels like performative. Sometimes I feel like they're just doing theater. Like, it's like when you watch the NBA and there's like, I mean, I love the NBA. I love the storylines, love the writing. But it's like when you watch and you're like all invested, but at the end of the day, you're like still watching the NBA. It's like different teams. Like, I feel like the Democrats and Republicans are just putting on some sort of performance art of like, now you take this day. I don't, some class, like, I don't know, maybe that's too cynical, but I, lately it's
no,
like, really?
Not at all.
We were just going in circles and there's the problems are piling up, and I feel like I thought during the pandemic we were like, hey, we've exposed the shit, mm-hmm. and offered mm-hmm. some solutions, and now they're back to like anyway,
never nothing
year,
if a pandemic
the argument
yeah if a pandemic's not going to change this, nothing will. I think what's so frustrating to me, and I'm we'll just always be bringing it back, this infrastructure bill, human infrastructure, all of this, part of this is all wrapped up again in this bill specifically, different climate change measures and things that are, you know, supposed to be at least some small steps forward. And every day that we're not doing something to address those issues, I freak out a little more, and it's going to be forever. And again, all of these playing politics when the nuts and bolts of this are so vital and needed to have happened already. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of what that makes me so frustrated when I see all of this stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, agree. It's very frustrating. I think that your cynicism is healthy and yeah. accurate. And I mean, you know, there are things that can be made clear by, like, you know, cinema that she's not doing, because it is a lot of, it's performative. There's a lot of preening going on. And, you know, there's, you see Collins and Manchin and Sinema out there proudly with their bill that, I don't know. It's just very frustrating because everyone involved is like, is doing what you're describing.
There are people who they seem to would rather be seen as the great centrists and the great negotiators than get something done. Like Mitt Romney was out there, like standing proudly, like look what we did. And you know, it's one of those things that no one's super happy about. But yeah, like you like to think that some of them have real ideals and real things they'd like to accomplish. And cinema specifically seems like someone who does not. It is all mm-hmm. performance.
Yeah.
They're just
yeah.
trying to get reelected. I mean, I have a half serious question. Serious question in that it's a real question, but half serious in that probably will never happen. What would happen if like a bunch of us, like just people who aren't in government, who actually like, it seems like a lot of people on the internet agree that we want like more resources for every person who is like, you know, exists in the country.
Sure.
And there are ways to do it without like totally filibustering or whatever. What if a bunch of us just got together, like, and then just started building shit? Like, yes, I know technically it's illegal, but what would really happen if we built a ton of free housing and we're like, we organized, and it wasn't like the anarchy? Like, if we did, because I know they think it's anarchy, but
they'll shut it down.
100,000 people, I know, built it, and then we were like, well, come shut down this hospital we're running for free, and it's doing well. Like, what would actually happen though? Because at that point, when it's running and it's good, I just think at this point, like, let's just do the fucking thing. Let's,
if we could build it before they caught wind of it. All I know is my dad used to work for the city in Northern California in Half Moon Bay. Used to be in different boards, and they had they had somebody come in with the money to donate prefab small homes to help with you know, the unhoused community there, and the city wouldn't.
It's just tough when it's from the outside, like, because when it's from the outside, there's always going to be this, and it makes sense. There's going to be paperwork. You got to apply. And then the reality is like, there's going to be distrust. Like if I was in an encampment with people I trusted over like someone in a suit showing up and like moving here, it would be hard to trust. Like I get that. I'm not saying that's not the way, but there's definitely something about the community getting together and doing it ourselves that would, I feel like, be interesting. It's like I don't know. My hope for the future is.
This goes interesting for the next one, which Jonathan will get to, which is the eviction moratorium. But just to your point, I'll say Nithya Raman was talking about this a little bit, and they found a lot of success about having community outreach going out every week once or twice a week, developing relationships, finding specifically what people need, and then developing relationships and getting them placed in homes that and facilities that they actually felt comfortable with, and then following through and making sure that they also have support in seeking long-term housing, and they are seeing a lot of success, and it's right there. It's community organizing.
Yeah.
It's showing up. It's people being there and doing the work on a human-to-human level.
And all right. The homeowners there in Los Feliz immediately put out a whole bunch of planters and crap. Yeah. Like to block. They immediately started blocking the sidewalk.
Anyway, eviction moratorium.
Yeah. The federal eviction moratorium, which has been in place since early in the pandemic, is ending this Saturday.
That's why I got a letter that my rent was going up.
Did you? Well, I wonder if I will. Oof.
The Supreme Court ruled last month that they couldn't extend it again past July 31st without congressional action. President Biden says he wants to extend it another month, but his hands are tied, so he is asking Congress to jump in and do another last-minute extension, get this thing through the end of August. Just a few data points on this. There were more than 6.4 million households that were behind on rent as of March, and 3.6 million people in a recent census survey said they could face eviction in the next 2 months, which
so many people
just increase housing insecurity. It's also a public health and COVID-19 issue.
Yeah, at some point it's not, like, because I understand if, like, nothing was, like, if it, like, if no big force majeure happened, like the COVID, you know, crisis, and all of a sudden everyone was like, no evictions, like, and nothing was changing. Like, I could see why there might be backlash from landlords, but it's wild to just go, oh, if we just evict people, we'll somehow get the money. It's like, all these people.
You're not going to get that money.
Yeah, these are people who are paying rent, like, before, and if they weren't, then circumstances have changed and made it too difficult. And if that many people can't pay rent, it's not like you kick them out and someone will show up and pay their rent. Like, at that point, you're just going to wind up with more people on the street. And then when that number hits a threshold, there's going to be madness, like a revolution, because at that point, we need to survive. Like, if everyone lives on the street, they're going to be like, well, fuck your system, it doesn't work. So it's like that. Yeah, I don't know.
All of the pieces are falling into place in a very alarming way of all the things that we see happening quicker and quicker and coming at us. But yeah, there is, there's already been a massive increase in the unhoused population through the pandemic. And this is going to contribute to that. And we are not doing a good job taking care of people.
There's tons of like new developments from outside builders that don't know how empty things are. It is really, I'm not going to get too angry at this, but I'll just say this. Has anyone considered that if everyone had a place to live, that they would have more time and less stress to contribute to society? Like, I've never understood that argument of like homeless people not contributing to society. Cause I'm like, so if a kid who was like 25 living at home in his mom's mansion wasn't working, would you be just as mad? I mean, probably, but like not, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely not. The answer is no.
Yeah, so like I would be met, but like not. So I'm like, maybe that person has his needs met and doesn't want to work. What about the folks who don't? Like, let's try giving everybody what they need. And then if after 3 months we're still in the same place, fine, take it back. But I guarantee you we won't be in the same place.
Yeah, test it out. Just test it out.
Yeah.
Just a year. Let's do a year.
There's also the NIMBY attitude of like, well, we can't put low cost housing here because we don't want a bunch of unhoused people living here, failing to take into account that they will no longer be unhoused.
Yeah. They would no longer be unhoused.
And also
they
not don't. Considering that so many quote unquote housed people, like the gentrifiers, moved into places that were
homes for many of them were living there longer.
I'm not offering solutions. I'm just ranting,
talking about it. It's not our job to solve it.
Breaking news segment. So we just bring up really enraging things, get angry for like 3 minutes, and then
move on.
It's a frustrating way to do things, but that's how
it's
we
just
do it
that there's
here.
Too much, and it deserves our acknowledgement, but. All right,
is
one
that
more.
Like breaking news? Like, you're breaking me down.
It's breaking you.
Yeah.
You're not built. So, will there be building news at the end of this where
it
I
should
can feel
be
built
the,
up?
In frustration week.
Creation news.
And even more news. The last story I got for you guys is the House Select Committee on the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. Oh, I decided to end on a fun one.
Yeah, that's right.
They held their first hearing on Tuesday featuring four Capitol police officers. They described attacks on them in various ways, as unlike anything I'd ever seen, scarier than anything I'd seen on deployment in Iraq. One officer was tased during the attack.
Repeatedly, over and over and over again.
Yes. You know, this is not the committee we had initially envisioned, or that most people envisioned when the Senate wanted to do it. So this is 7 Democrats, 2 Republicans. Republicans are saying that the whole thing is like a sham and a political exercise because Nancy Pelosi refused to seat Jim Banks and Jim Jordan because
that's
of
right, it was Jim
things
Jordan.
They said about the validity of the 2020 election. One interesting thing before you guys react is that House Republicans tried to set up some of their own like counter programming outside. So there was like a little press conference, and Representative Steve Scalise was trying to like, there was this social media thing that went around that was like, Nancy Pelosi was in charge of the Capitol Police, so she left them underprepared. So actually January 6th is all Nancy Pelosi's fault. Scalise said that why didn't Nancy Pelosi make sure that the Capitol Police had all the tools they needed to be prepared for that day? And that's the question that should really be asked.
Now the day, not, so it was bad that it happened then.
It was both patriots who were making their voices heard and Antifa and BLM. Don't you know that?
They're kind of leaving it ambiguous, Cody. It's like moving the goalposts, you know? It's like, I can't believe you did that. I didn't do anything, but if I had done that, it wouldn't have been my fault because blah. Oh, and if I had done that, you're wrong to be mad. So you agree you did that. I didn't say that, but I'm sorry. But even if I'm not sorry, it's like that kind
exactly.
of
gaslighting.
Yeah, yeah. Except also like all those things are still purported to be true at the same time. Like, it's not even they've moved on to the next explanation. It's like, yeah, all the explanations are true. It's all of them at the same time. And it's
like, I do feel like by entertaining or like, it's like a child. By listening at all, we're already like giving, like, it's hard because like, what are you supposed to do? Like, these are elected officials, but like, I mean, come on, look at Jim Jordan. Like, he just throws little tantrums in.
Yeah, no, they're embarrassing children, and they're very good at this about they're always like, oh, liberal snowflakes, and it's like, well, no, you're the ones that are always mad about like Dr. Seuss and stuff. You make us talk about it. Like, we have to talk about these things.
Isn't Dr. Seuss an anti-Semite? Are we supposed to, are we like him now?
Yes, he was.
It is an abusive relationship, these people. Everything they do, they are gaslighting. They are twisting it around. They are projecting that all. It's like a playbook out of an abusive relationship.
True. We are just like, it is the fact that they mostly just create their own space and we can't not give it to them.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what's hard is like the reality is a lot of people don't get even a space or platform to speak. And the people, these people who like Jim Jordan's like ranting QAnons, we don't want to give them the space, but we can't take it away from them. So
right. No, they dictate all the conversation, and all the conversations end up being really silly and lies.
And I'm not saying we should censor. I think that's the problem, is that it becomes this weird paradoxical thing where they're like, oh, you're going to try to censor us. It's like, but you're already not giving space and platform for others to speak. So we're just trying to even the playing field. We're not trying to censor you, but you have already censored.
They are obviously not censored.
Yeah. Right.
Did you guys watch any of this or hear any of it? Because it is pretty hard to listen to the officers giving their testimony. I mean, just to your points of all that, I don't know that Pelosi played this right. So she refused to have Jim Jordan and whomever the other one. I understand those reasons. And she self-picked the other Republicans, Cheney and the other one, to be on the committee because they're the ones most sympathetic to the investigation in general. But it does come across as as being very partisan, of course. But I don't really know how you get around that. But it's not going to lead to much of anything. There's a very good chance that they'll subpoena Donald Trump to ask him the specific question of like, why did you keep going? Why didn't you tell people to stand down? But he won't show up.
Jim Jordan.
They
to
might
be like,
subpoena
did
Jim
talk
Jordan
to Trump before, during, and after. What did you say? You know,
all of that would be interesting. But the testimony of the police officers, and we're not pro cop here, but I don't want anybody to go through what they went through. You know, a crowd of racists screaming the N-word at a black officer. He breaks down and cries talking about it. You know, mobbing, people beating people up from all sides, repeatedly tasing them, one begging them, saying, please, please, I have children. And it's truly galling. It's truly horrifying. And all of that stuff that we've talked about is like the fact that they can continue doing what they're doing, the Republicans and the Jim Jordans and all of them, while sitting here and listening to what these testimonies is.
Oh, Katie, they're not listening.
They're not.
What do you mean?
But I mean, they can't close their ears, but they have the opportunity to listen. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that.
The half-life of Republicans caring about January 6th as like a big deal was about like 6 hours.
Yeah.
And by the time January 7th came around, they're like, oh, wait, if we care about this, that's bad for us. And
right, yeah.
That's the only thing they care about.
They know that they should. They know they probably care about it on some level as like a human being, but aren't going to say anything or do anything about it because they are actually monsters. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep this high mood going and talk about Delta and vaccine mandates. Yummy. We need to talk about the Delta. And I don't know, there's something to a pack. There's a lot of misinformation and there's a lot of like reactionary and people being afraid or not afraid or refusing this and that. But let's just go through some facts here. Delta is much more contagious than previous strains of the coronavirus. We're not quite sure just how much stronger, but it's stronger.
It is like much more, the window of infection time is quicker too.
And there's like a higher viral load. Mm-hmm. And so that's a mutation. Maybe that's a mutation in response to the fact that people are getting vaccinated. I don't know. That's not something I've written down. But we are at this point from what I've read, and I don't say this to be fear-mongery because I don't want people to freak out, but I do think that we should be acknowledging the reality and the potentials of what's happening here is that we might be two variations away from a vaccine, a strain that can evade the vaccine.
Yeah.
And that is why it's so important to get as many people vaccinated to stop the mutations. That's how we get through this. But yeah, it's spreading quickly, especially in unvaccinated areas. 98.9% of COVID-19 hospitalizations were among the unvaccinated, and 99.2% of the deaths were also among the unvaccinated. But what we are seeing is that there are a lot of breakthrough infections. And again, not to be fear-mongering, breakthrough infections are absolutely to have been expected. However, yes, there are more breakthrough infections happening than was originally expected. There's still very little chance of you being hospitalized or dying, but there are some stories of that. It's statistically small. We have the best data we have right now is that about 5,900 people in the United States have either died or been hospitalized for COVID-19 after being fully vaccinated. But about 1,800 of those cases were either asymptomatic or not related to COVID-19. So basically, the fully vaccinated people came in for other issues, but they ended up having COVID, but then died. So you're not sure if that's what they died from. I don't know. That's just all a bunch of information. And to say that this is why you're seeing now mask mandates coming back and back inside. And I know it's really frustrating. I know I've been frustrated. I'm frustrated for my friends and small businesses that now can't have as many people in, or you see the business dip down. Frustrated by all of that. I'm frustrated that it's happening because people aren't getting vaccinated. But and this is a really important thing that people have pointed out to me online, and I feel it's important to acknowledge, is that not everybody who isn't vaccinated is doing that because of a political reason. There are a lot of people that are not vaccinated because they can't get vaccinated, because they have pre-existing conditions of their own, because the vaccine would be bad for them. There are people with young children who still don't have access to the vaccine. And yeah, it's evolving, and younger people are dying. It's frustrating, but it's not just the assholes that we're protecting. Mm-hmm. And it's also the fact that we want our businesses to stay open. We don't want our hospitals to be overrun, and we don't want the mutation to keep growing. You know?
Yeah. Not just in America.
No, it's everywhere.
I mean, other countries are ahead of us in where they are, but they've like spiked up and like are like, I guess, in the timeline further. But, you know, I don't think as many, there are other countries that have like people who don't want to get vaccinated too, but the whole narrative is a little different with QAnon and hoax and stuff. So it's like, it is unfair to just make it partisan, which you're not doing, but I've seen sometimes online, you know.
It's just all part of the messy soup. And like, it is obviously partisan, but it's not just that.
It's just very frustrating because the information, the phrase trust the science is like kind of weaponized in all aspects of this.
Yeah.
And like, as if you did a science and that's the fact and nothing changes. But science is like a process and you learn more and you alter things. And also the CDC is not really good at messaging at all.
Nope.
really fucking bad at it. And our government, regardless of the administration, is not very good at communicating or being very clear or incentivizing vaccinations in ways that actually get people to
well,
do it.
Well, Biden proposed $100 stimmy check for anybody that's vaccinated.
See, this is where it gets it's almost like continuing this narrative. Like there were, businesses that were trying to give away things or whatever. Like I understand everyone trying to help. Be like, oh, I'll give you this if you're vaccinated. But on a small level, I'm like, that's nice if you're like an influencer because then you're just getting your fans to be on board. But when companies are giving away money, it's like, if somebody is getting vaccinated only because of $100, then and they totally didn't believe in it at all, then I'd be like, damn, we have a fucked up problem.
Right,
well,
like you, that you
sure.
need $100. Yeah, yeah.
That or then they're just convictions for not doing it are just so shitty. Like they're just waiting to be incentivized.
But that really might tip someone over and
yeah.
But then I'm like, either way it's bad, right? Because it pokes
that's the reality.
How shitty it is that some people are just doing it on principle. And then if that's not true, then what we're actually saying is that we can buy people's beliefs away, which is also bad. I'm not saying, it's tricky because I believe in getting vaccinated and I believe in the science, but I also understand if someone outside of believing it's a hoax has their reasons or whatever and their, personal anecdotes, which even though we know statistically are not actually reliable, if you personally know 10 people who had this story or whatever, who got fucked up by vaccines, I do understand how somebody might believe that. And
yeah,
if they could be bought.
Well, and right, it's also, but also that person hearing the government wants to give you $100, they really want that fucking microchip in you. They really want to get it in
there.
Because
it just further proves it,
well,
that in your mind.
I do think that that doesn't necessarily reach people that believe there are microchips in it, but it might reach people that are just don't care. They're in a remote area or they haven't done it. They don't know. They're on the fence. There are a lot of people that just,
oh yeah, no, for
yet.
Sure. I'm talking generally and broadly and obviously everyone is different and it's just it's just a clusterfuck and you can't communicate.
What if we gave free guns away?
Yeah, that'll do it.
I feel like that would work.
They have to
polling,
be water guns.
There's interesting polling recently about who the microchip issue and who thinks the microchip is in you is in the vaccine. And obviously lots of Republicans and very few Democrats. And then they sort of broke it down into have you gotten the vaccine? Have you not gotten the vaccine? And sort of this. And it was I forget the exact amount, but it was 8 to 10% or something like that. It was I believe that the microchip is in the vaccine and I have been vaccinated. I want to talk to those people.
Oh, I
yeah,
would
I mean,
love to talk to those
put
people.
A microchip in me, I wouldn't care. That's pretty cool for technology. I mean, I don't want a microchip in me, but I'm if they pull that off and we all have microchips, I'd be cool. Time travel next. Do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does this mean that if I get lost, you can find me anywhere in the world? I'm chipped.
That might finally be a HIPAA violation.
Record my thoughts.
Right, right. I think we've arrived at the actual HIPAA violation.
I would actually love my thoughts to be recorded. Anybody who's scared of data privacy, I'm I don't actually want only my thoughts to be recorded, but if all of our thoughts are recorded, I would be ahead of the game because I've been way too over analyzing my own, am I right? Am I wrong? Anxious about everything that I'm I feel put my thoughts out there, then I would never have to worry about people misunderstanding me again. You know what I
mean? Very good point.
And then if everybody's thoughts are recorded, then nobody's thoughts are recorded, right?
Because who would have time to listen to all that?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nobody. Jeff Bezos, I don't know. Are they listening to people's Alexas?
All you have to do is listen to yourself at that point. If you know that you're the same as everyone and you know this is getting real spiritual, but if underneath everything you can't escape a lie, then you can't escape your own lies. The only person you need to know is yourself.
Damn.
Boom.
Boom. Wow. Knowledge drop right there.
That's the microchip talking right there.
Said just like Bill Gates would expect.
I interrupted you, Katie. Sorry.
No, you're great. Love all that. Real quick, if any of you guys know somebody that believes they've been chipped and still got the vaccine, I want to talk to them. But now I want to talk to how we're dealing with this, especially vaccine mandates, because that's what everybody's been talking about. Obviously, this is a very difficult issue to unpack politically. It is not a good situation to have to navigate. But it does not seem, I mean, Biden has assured and assured and assured over and over again that there would be no vaccine mandate. And I don't believe that there will be.
He did make an interesting comment today about how, because he asked the DOJ if other people can do it, like communities, can businesses legally do that? And he said yes. And then he made some comment about how, like, whether or not you can do that on the federal level, I don't know yet.
So he might investigate, yes, but it's unclear because the next thing I'd written is that the winds are changing, and it's something that everybody's talking about, and you're looking at other countries and what they're doing. And obviously, as we've mentioned, the science changes, the data changes. We are in a bad wave, and potentially we're not doing well. We had been doing well, and now we're not, and something has to change. You know, could we have said that that guidance to stop wearing masks indoors was premature? Yeah, I think it was. But anyway, yes.
But so it isn't just us, right? Because, like, I know Taiwan was doing such a good job of following the rules, and they weren't needing to do a lot of lockdown, but they were doing quarantine really strict, and they still had cases come back. So I do think there is something to be said. Like, devil's advocate here in terms of, like, I do think America sucks at handling this. But there's an element of just this pandemic is just beyond what we were prepared for.
There's a lot.
New Zealand's still doing pretty good.
And nobody is, I mean, the polarization that we have here is extreme, but it's true throughout the world in different places and different issues, but still. In general, it's very difficult to attack this problem. We don't have all the answers, but that's kind of what this conversation is about, because how do you implement something like that here? Especially if other places are doing it. I mean, but so to your point, Cody, of what Biden was saying to the DOJ and in general, what it seems to be is that he is encouraging. I mean, well, they've announced that all federal employees and contractors must be vaccinated, right, or submit to regular testing. And that's generally the line of, like, if you're not going to get vaccinated, then you need to be tested every day, all that stuff.
You know who else does this? Fox News.
Do they
totally
now?
Yes.
Tune all of a sudden, though, which is like much
well, that's
easier
part
to
of it. But that's part of it.
But like
thing.
for a while, they have had vaccine like mandates and daily testing at where
but
they
don't talk
their,
about
where
that,
they make
they?
Their shows where
of
they
course,
talk about how it's
these
evil.
Are the
yeah.
People who run on, you know, everybody there has like a lawyer who has a lawyer who has a lawyer. Like, these are the people who literally make the court system go and also stay corrupt. Like, yeah. Yes, of course, a company like that, doesn't matter what they say they believe, is going to have
of course,
their
yeah.
bases covered.
Because they're going to protect their asses.
Yeah, you know somebody who works there, even if they didn't believe in vaccines, if they had a chance to sue their own company for money, they would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, these are all just the most, like, yeah.
A
sure.
real quick yeah. Point to make on this, though, is that most of, like, so federally, New York, California, you have to get vaccinated if you're a federal employee or a healthcare worker or submit to weekly testing. But you're right, like, Fox News is definitely doing that. More and more companies are doing that. And that's the really interesting thing about breakthrough infections, is because the CDC does not keep data on breakthrough infections unless it requires hospitalization. We don't know how many of these breakthrough
right.
infections are completely asymptomatic, because a lot of times you'll see actors working on movie sets who get tested all the time, professional athletes, teachers who have to get tested all the time. They have to quarantine. They're like, yep, I had a breakthrough infection. I tested positive, but they have no symptoms, which is basically like the vaccine worked. Like, the virus
right. did the job. Yeah.
The virus got into them. It replicated a bunch, but it caused nothing
right.
to them.
Exactly. That's it. Right. Parsing out
but
that
it does
data.
It does hit gig economy worse, because I got really scared. I just like shot something last weekend, and it was my shoot. So I made sure, like, we did a small crew, and I am vaccinated. Everyone's vaccinated. But I was like, I need to test myself too, because I was just like, even though everyone's like, we're all vaccinated, I'm like, even with wearing a mask, I just wanted to know that I was doing everything
right.
I could. But when I got the test, I still was nervous, you know? And it's like, why am I nervous? Because there's a possibility of being asymptomatic. And I know in my heart, if I had it, I would have to shut it down. And I, like, of course I don't want to, but
right.
that's what made me take it. Because I'm like, knowing that little part of me was like, do I have to? If I, then I'm like, yes, because
Good.
Otherwise, I would just be leaving it up to fate.
Well, that is very responsible of you versus most people.
I like to think most people do, because I went through that feeling of like, I don't want to. So I'm like, if I can push myself there, I think we all think that. But at the end of the day, I think most people will push themselves.
Yeah.
I hope.
I hope. That's the thing. Like, we're at this stage now, too, where like, okay, we got the vaccine, we did this. We've had like a year, more than a year of like, failed attempts to deal with this, and just like the frustration of that, like, okay, we're gonna go back in for this, and then we're gonna come back out, and like we'll be free again, and then okay, 2 months later we're gonna go back. It just feels like this never ending cycle.
Well, I would just like, the, you know, a lot of people are comparing it to the 1918 pandemic, and there are so many similarities, but they had four waves. I don't think it was the same exactly like the way we have here, but there's also 2 years. So according to that, like, really, we are still kind of following that trajectory. Like, I really felt like we're coming out.
This is our fourth one now.
Right. Yeah, it was like a long haul. It's very disappointing that, like, 100 years later, we're still, like, on track.
Well, nobody's alive now that was alive then.
I know.
But that's an illusion that time makes us smarter. Maybe.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
We have more technology. But think about trees, right? They live for hundreds of years and they have.
And they're stupid as fuck.
Yeah, they're dumbasses.
They never say anything.
I just mean the cyclical nature of things. Like,
absolutely. We forget.
This is just how pandemics go. We should be better equipped. I'm not saying we should just let it happen, but it might not be something. It might not have gotten worse because of us, is all I'm saying. Possibly. Mm-hmm. Because this has happened.
I don't
before.
Think that we learned from our lessons for sure. Nobody is alive to have remembered living through it. Nobody's been alive to remember being vaccinated against some new disease.
True.
Also, like the president getting COVID and then almost dying, getting experimental treatment, and then defiantly ripping off his mask in public while he's gloriously breathing did not help.
No.
And even like the fact that Boris Johnson, like, all it's like. Not comical, because I wouldn't say it's funny, but caricature almost. Like,
yo, for sure.
Were the most like adamant that it didn't.
Cartoonish.
Exist. Yeah, it's a parody.
Yeah. So vaccine passports are the big conversation going forward, thinking about this. Also putting pressure on private businesses in the private sector. So instead of having the onus be on federal agencies or the government or a mandate or what have you, encouraging private corporations and companies to start requiring vaccines or instituting their own policies. And I think that is the plan right now. But then everybody else is pushing for, and it's hard to argue. If you're vaccinated, you get to go in places. And I understand that's a whole other legal ball of questions. That can of worms or whatever. But
would you guys be in favor of doing what the French did, where it's like, you, in order to go into a restaurant or a bar or the movie theater, you have to be vaccinated or have a test within 48 hours?
Oh, wait, I don't know about that, but I was talking to my friends who are in France, and it sounded like it was pretty bad. People were getting fined for shit, like, and most of them were not doing what, like, I would say that my friends I was talking to would probably, if they were in America, be like all supportive of like public health or whatever.
Right.
Like, they're not like anti-masker hoaxers, but it sounds like generally people were in support of public health and were kind of being punished for it. So I feel, I mean, obviously I didn't talk to enough people, that's anecdotal, but based on like young people I spoke to, it didn't necessarily seem like the best circumstances either. Maybe from the outside, it seems better than what we have, but I think that it's a different degree of.
Well, this just got instituted a few weeks ago. The French president saying, like, if you want to like do all this public stuff, you have to be vaccinated, and it resulted in a surge in people getting vaccinated and a bunch of protests in the street.
I mean,
that's every day in France. There's always protests.
There's always a protest, but I do think that we would see a surge in vaccinations. I do think that we would see a lot of people flipping out. But it might be the best path forward. I want to move on before we run out of time, because I really want to talk about Simone Biles. Lots of Olympic news on our shows the past couple weeks, and here's some more of that news. Simone Biles withdrew from the women's team final at the Tokyo Olympics on Tuesday, and then went on to also withdraw from the individual all-around competition. And this decision came following her opening vault, where she got lost in the air, or as she later explained, got the twisties, which is a phenomenon gymnasts understand, where, yes, you get lost in the air, so to speak, and you don't know which way you're rotated, and it's incredibly dangerous and scary. I've seen quotes from other gymnasts saying if it had been a lesser athlete, they could have paralyzed themselves. It's a very scary and intense thing.
Yeah, the twisties are it's basically like it's the gymnast version of stage fright. Or like any sort of like what the yips is
the
of
yips.
Baseball. Yeah, that kind of thing. Where like you're just like your body and your brain are sort of disconnected, right. Discombobulated.
Until I've learned from poker.
Yes.
No, there you go.
Which then led to outrage from half the world and then fierce defense of her choices from the other half. Lots of people talking, I've seen anyway, athletic resilience and having a strong mind of a competitor, as if this decision was somehow weak or cowardly, as if she hasn't competed through pain and injuries and overcome so many obstacles to win 4 gold medals for a team that has abused her. And so there's a lot to unpack here. First, you know, the abuse that she suffered. It's important to note that Biles is the only self-identified victim of Larry Nassar's to still compete for USA Gymnastics after decades of his abuse has come to light. Nassar is serving life in prison right now. Biles has even mentioned in the past, say it's impossibly difficult to relive these experiences, and it breaks my heart even more to think that as I work towards my dream of competing in Tokyo 2020, I will have to continually return to the same training facility where I was abused. I share this to just set up some of the stage for what she, the unbelievable burden that she has been carrying for so long, going through this in front of the world, being a top athlete, also surviving a pandemic and maybe wanting to compete a year ago and it got pushed, and the uncertainty of what's going to happen and then being there in the world stage. And she made a choice for herself. Also, I've had seen people being like, well, I mean, you're already there. You can't believe you would wait to make the decision till you're there. Do you think that that decision came lightly? Does anybody think that that's what she wanted to do? My first instinct was like, oh God, to get all the way there and to have to make that decision is got to be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. I don't know. She, again, had to deal with that whole sexual abuse thing.
Olympic athlete over, you know what I mean? It's like, maybe trust the Olympic athlete who has literally defied gravity and most human, you know, broken so many human records. Maybe we trust the person in that body to decide what to do with that body, because
she doesn't.
I think
good idea. I feel like if you,
I know what's best for her. No,
look, anybody who's complaining, I urge them to Freaky Friday Simone Biles and try to do anything. Like, just because she has the ability to do that doesn't mean your mind would. You think you jump in there and do as routine out, like literally everyone's like, oh, I had that. It's like, yeah, try it. Like, put your mind in there, in that body. You wouldn't know how to control it. Like, you trust that.
And I think that's interesting. It's like this unrealistic pressure we put on athletes to be superhuman, to persevere through injuries and pain, to perform for us, for our entertainment. You know, it's wild. I mean, these people train their whole lives to come here. Most people don't make any money from this, just, you know, don't get endorsements, but they break their bodies. They,
do you think it's a part due to, if you said the thing about like, we expect them to do all this. And at first I was like, oh, these are just angry trolls being like, blah, 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 the way angry people are at fantasy football. But I wonder if there's a innate part of humans that get triggered, like, when you see, like, there are mascot almost of like what our bodies are capable of. And when you see any sign of failure or weakness from someone who's supposedly so strong, it's like triggers a fear response of like, well, what if I'm weak? Like, I wonder if that's what's happening, of some sort of like almost involuntary, like, was the prefrontal cortex response? Do you know what I mean? Like, the amygdala gets triggered and then it's making the people think, oh, if she gives up and she's so far ahead of me, I have no hope. As opposed to, like, I just feel like they're projecting a lot. And, like, I don't think that makes it okay. Like, I'm not saying, like, don't defend Simone and tell these people to shut up. But I'm wondering if some of that is their own fear coming out.
I think that's possible. I think it's fear. I think it's self-hatred, too. You like to pick. I mean, just the phenomenon of people being online. A lot of times when people outsized mean, just incredibly mean or reactionary online. A lot of times it does have to do way more with them than other people. What the thing is that it has to do with them, I don't know. But
and it challenges their worldview, right? Like, yeah. It's like if the world is this way and this way and this way, and you do this and you do this, and you see, like Teresa, like you're saying, like you see somebody who's like successful, but also like in defiance of that worldview.
And I think that when people prioritize their mental wellness on a stage like that, that shows people that it's a possibility. And so many people's knee jerk is like, oh, that's weak. That's a weakness. But they haven't yet accepted or understand that mental wellness is just as important as physical wellness for all of us, but especially for an athlete, you know, going up there and performing under that that pressure.
I mean, it is physical, but I know what you mean.
It is, but like, I mean, a physical injury, you know, if you have a broken foot, you know, you can't do that jump on a broken foot, although I know she did on broken toes in the past. But when somebody is going through a mental health crisis, we're like, buck up, chin up.
Yeah.
Just pull through.
That said, like, that I thought was interesting where she was saying on social media, where she said she felt like the weight of the world on her shoulders.
Yes.
But I found that really interesting too, because if you think about like getting like, well, we say like the yips and the twisties are like, you don't know where it comes from. But technically we all, you know, even as comedians and writers, you get writer's block, you're in your head. It is when you stop connecting, you know, your mind, soul, body, like in a way where you're not listening anymore. And if she feels like the weight of the world on her shoulders, there's something really poetic about the fact that she got the twisties, because it's like the world is twisted. Like she can't support this world. It's not balanced.
There you are going deep again.
Sorry.
No, it's great. I'm teasing.
I always sound like I'm high.
No. I love it. I'll just share this this little message that Simone shared with everybody. The outpouring of love and support I've received has made me realize I'm more than my accomplishments and gymnastics, which I never truly believed before. And I wanted to point that out because she's grown up in the public eye and has spent her entire life training to be a gymnast, to be an Olympian. And she has been, and she's been famous, and she's been thrust into the limelight, you know, for her athleticism, for her gold medals, for her sexual assault as a team leader. And that's all anybody's expected of her. That's all anybody knows about her. What a huge realization to have, to be like, I'm more than this. I need to prioritize myself because this is my one body. This is my one brain. This is my one life. And it doesn't matter if the whole world is watching. You've got to choose yourself. And that, I thought, was incredibly powerful. And I, for one, am very proud of her.
Yeah, I'm glad that she's sharing that, because I think it is... The reality is sometimes we feel like we're identified. Like, I'm guilty of this too, by like my work and achievements. But the reality is like, you should want to do those things because you like it. But at the end of the day, like, you are just going to be you outside of all that. And if she gets all the way to the end of what we consider success on a world stage and finally learns that lesson, it's not too late to learn it. But it does make us realize that like, we don't have to get to the end to learn it. Like, anyone can learn that at any stage, even if nobody's watching you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to me that the reaction is so visceral about this decision, because there's a framing of it, like conservatives are so like, this is selfish of her, this is like, she's doing this, like putting herself before like the nation or whatever. But like, their worldview also like supports that behavior. Like, they're very individualist and like they want people to be selfish, right? Like, that's their whole worldview. That's how they want people to act in society. It's a competition. So, like, they should be in support of this, technically. Like, yeah, she's, like, thinking about herself. So, like, leave her alone.
Also,
why do you care?
Who among those people ever watch it? Like, does Piers Morgan watch U.S. gymnastics when it's not the Olympics? Like,
exactly.
He doesn't
like,
care.
What is, like... Who, and this, I mean, this is a larger conversation just about the Olympics in general, where it's like, who cares about, like, I just do not give a shit who wins anything in the Olympics. It doesn't mean anything to me that, like, America won more gold medals than, I don't give a shit. But, like, they especially, like, yeah, Piers doesn't care. He's seen Carrie Strug do the thing. That's it. But, like, yeah, let her make her individual decision. Like, that's her freedom, right? But
you know, the reality is that people who aren't supportive of her decision would not be, are just not supportive of her. Like, they might be happy when she wins for USA, but they're not happy for Simone when she wins. Mm-hmm. And they're never going to be. And so I think it does, it is hurt to hear that, especially if you're Simone. I can't imagine what that must be like on that level. But I do think it's, whether this happened or not, those people are that way and they'll always be that way. So I think her doing what's good for her is still the right choice.
Like, oh, absolutely. It's not gonna
change.
Like,
it didn't change these people's view of her. You know, like, if you supported her already, like, you would support her mental health and you would also support her winning or losing.
Right. There was not, it's not about her. It's, they don't support her. They support, like, a person on the US team.
Yeah.
Right.
And if she lost, they might just be just as mad.
So, and they got gold.
Yeah.
Got a gold medal. They got what they wanted.
And the still don't care.
The vulnerability of her is very refreshing, because we pretend that people who have achieved, like, the highest level in whatever they do are happy because of that. That they
and
are
infallible.
Infallible, constantly emotionally fulfilled, and it just doesn't work that way.
No.
You know?
No.
Like, Simone Biles is a human being.
And, like, Naomi Osaka, too. Is, like, I mean, there's a lot of, I feel like we're definitely reaching a breaking point there.
And it's important, and it's brave, and it actually is the exact kind of role model that we need. Guys, we have run out of time today. But this has been great. Teresa, can you tell everybody where they can find you online, plug the stuff to plug?
Yeah, you can follow me at Teresa Lee Bott on Instagram and Twitter at Larissa T. I am going to be I haven't announced yet, but I'm going to be in New York in September doing shows.
Ooh.
So follow me for those dates. And yeah, I've got some things coming up that sounds cooler than it is. Well, I'll just say I'm gonna be crowdfunding for a short film, so it's really exciting, but
that's
put it out yet, so follow me and then I'll ask you for money later.
So follow her so she can ask you for money later. Guys, it's gonna be great, and go see her shows in New York. Teresa is a delight to watch perform.
Oh, and I have a podcast that you guys have both been on. It's called You Can Tell Me Anything.
Oh yeah, that's a fun one. Talked about my
Your sweaty hands.
Mm-hmm. I did. Mm-hmm. Nice. All right, guys. That's it for us today. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, remember that we love you very much.
Yeah,
end recording.